The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right. It's a repeat of yesterday weather-wise, so everybody be careful on this Tuesday, October 16th, 2018. Another rainy, nasty, mid-40s kind of day with a wind that can make it feel almost like it's high 30s. Hello, San Antonio. First hour, we always appreciate the company of Freedom 1160, and you guys get just some clouds and a sprinkle about mid-50s today. Lucky, lucky you. Up here in the big DF dub, it's another just nasty, rainy, all day. Issue, so everybody just be very, very careful. We have a Ted Cruz Beto O'Rourke debate tonight. It's at 8 o'clock on Channel 8. So wow, we get the Connors and Cruz and Beto. We'll talk a little bit about both. Probably a lot more Ted and Beto. This might be the last debate because you remember there was supposed to be one in Houston, but they delayed that one because it looked for all the world like Senator Cruz was going to need to be in Washington doing some key Kavanaugh voting. But then, of course, that all got derailed during the Jeff Flake dog and pony show. But hey, Kavanaugh's on the court. Trump's still president. It's still Texas. And God's in his heaven and all is right with the world. So 866-660-5759. Got a few things to offer up to you. 866-660-5759. So while we didn't get a Ted Cruz Beto O'Rourke debate in Houston, Ted Cruz will be on a stage in Houston Monday of next week. And you know who'll be with him? That would be President Trump. We've known for a long time that President Trump was going to come to Texas to campaign for Ted Cruz, and that will be at a rally in Houston Monday night of next week. Even if you are at Walmart, even if you are out doing something with the family, just be very, very quiet at a certain part of the evening. The sound you will hear will be people's heads exploding because the people who hate both guys are just not going to be able to believe or handle that they have made peace. And I guarantee you, these idiots who rent these, you ever seen those rolling things that are on like a flatbed and not really a flatbed, it's just a medium-sized trailer. And you could put a little billboard that can read on both sides of the trailer as the thing goes around a building. Like they circle the NRA convention with stuff about Russia. That was money well spent. And it just, you know, whatever you want to do for messaging, advertising, or political skullduggery, whatever you want to do. So I guarantee you that when President Trump comes to Houston Monday night, October 22nd, for a Ted Cruz rally, or Cruz comes for a Trump rally, however you want to phrase it, there'll be people rolling around outside the NRG arena with some blown up Trump tweet from 2016 in which he was giving it to Ted with both barrels. And Ted gave it back to Trump with both barrels. That's called these guys were running against each other for president. And you know what Trump was to Cruz and what Cruz was to Trump? Each guy's main obstacle. It is Ted Cruz that was the most serious threat to Donald Trump's acquisition of the Republican nomination. And it wound up being Donald Trump that prevented Ted Cruz from getting the Republican nomination. It came down to the Indiana primary. What was that? 5th of May or something last year? Or 16? And it was just a slugfest down to the end. And then it was over. Trump became the nominee, and it we've been on journeys of varying length. The amount of time it took me to pivot from a Cruz supporter. Well, I mean, I never stopped being a Cruz supporter, but as soon as Ted's presidential campaign ended, amount of time it took for me to embrace the Trump presidential run, that would be a millisecond. It took some of you longer. It took Ted Cruz longer. But he got there. He's there now. They have made peace. And the people who hate both of these strong leaders, both enormously popular in Texas, they always want to use Cruz against Trump, and they always want to use Trump against Cruz, and they just can't do it anymore. And so just get ready for so Cruz and O'Rourke on the debate stage tonight. I've got a couple of thoughts how I think that's going to go. It's in San Antonio. Speaking of San Antonio, it's in San Antonio tonight. It'll be on Channel 8 locally at 8 o'clock. And then Monday night is the Trump Cruz rally in Houston. That's, I just chuckle. Just love it. Just love it. Just love it. And I do love the Elizabeth Warren DNA test. Now, this is, do you wonder why I've spent a little bit of time talking about Michelle Obama lately? And I just want you to keep an eye on her. And it won't be hard to do because she's everywhere. She's got a book out. It's enormously popular. She is on a rock star tour of huge stadiums. And she'll blow through the AAC here in a little bit, in a few months. And she's enormously popular. She is the only rock star the Democratic Party has that is on a par with Trump. And yet, despite some smatterings of speculation that she might want to run in 2020, they put out this poll the other day, you know, and Joe Biden is on it. Kamala Harris is on it. Bernie Sanders is on it. Cory Booker is on it. Beto is on it in terms of Democrats' interest in various names for a 2020 run against Donald Trump. Biden won in a small plurality. It was splintered out all over everywhere. But if they'd stuck Michelle Obama in that poll, she'd have won it going away. Because for one thing, she's under 90. And God bless Joe Biden, but might be time to sit on the porch and whittle in Delaware. And as far as Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, that and Elizabeth Warren, which is why I started this whole paragraph, these are people who are just so fringe and so extreme, and that might satisfy a certain part of the Democrat base. Because there is enthusiasm for all of those names that I just mentioned, but zero crossover appeal. And even some Democrats who say, oh, no, don't subject us to that. No, please. And Bernie Sanders, don't even get me started. God bless Bernie. But no, just no. OK, so just think for a minute about Michelle Obama. Still enormously famous, still enormously popular. Still enormously beloved. And when you think of, haven't we learned that a lot of times elections are about enthusiasm, right? Who's more enthused? Who's more worked up? Who's more motivated? Who's ready to put the pedal to the metal? Isn't that what the election is all about? That is 3 weeks from today, 3 weeks from today. Tick tock, tick tock. Here it comes. People talk about the blue wave, the enthusiasm of Democrats to do something to stop the Trump freight train. And then lately, there's been the notion of a red beachhead, coined, I think, by me, to stop the blue wave from reaching the shore. And a lot of that has been Kavanaugh inspired. And I've talked about that red beachhead preventing a victory by Beto O'Rourke in Texas or by Colin Allred in District 32, where Pete Sessions will be reelected. By the way, I have info on a home somewhere where Mr. Allred held a fundraiser a few weeks ago at the home of someone who had some really fascinating things to say about white people and Bible voters. We are known by those we hang out with. More on that in a moment. But Michelle Obama can pack stadiums like Trump does. And when I think about a Michelle Obama, Donald Trump 2020 battle royal, I've said this, I'm going to stick with this until somebody else gives me another name. She is the only Democrat I fear. She's the only one. Biden? Bernie Sanders? And then even some people who are under, 100 years old, like Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Elizabeth Warren, are you high? Trump will smoke these people. Michelle Obama, be afraid. Be very afraid. Because you talk about Democrat enthusiasm. The one thing that Democrats absolutely despise, well, one thing, one of maybe the foremost thing that Democrats just despise Donald Trump for is his dismantling, twig by branch, of the Obama legacy. Obamacare is itself on life support. The regulatory state dismantled. The tax cuts in effect. The Iran deal balled up and thrown away. Those stupid Paris climate accords cast aside, thank God. The Obama legacy is gone. You think Democrats wouldn't crawl on broken glass to get Michelle and her husband back into the White House? So I have zero idea whether she's thinking about running. Got to be thinking about it. I mean, by now, if you're going to do it right now, you have to be thinking about it. So if that idea does murmur inside her, it'd be interesting to watch her during. And what are some of the things that you do before you start to think about running? You do things of very high visibility. Trump didn't need to. He was already pretty famous. Michelle's obviously already pretty famous. But if you come out with a book and you have an enormous amount of adulation and a massive tour of big stadiums, it is exactly the kind of thing that happens when you're thinking about running for president. So we're going to pick up seats in the Senate. I believe there's a strong chance that we keep the House. I've always said so. Trump's chances of reelection right now look bright. Until the moment Michelle Obama announces for president, and at that point, all bets are off. I will then put my nose to the grindstone every day to make sure Trump is reelected. But that's the only rock star the Democrats have. It's the only one. The only one. I'll flat tell you, the only one who stands a chance. Again, presuming the economy doesn't tank or he doesn't nuke Finland or something like that. The Trump reelection, I think, is, you don't ever talk about stuff 2 years out, but there's no reason for him to lose. So the reason I started this whole thing is that there's been so much talk about Elizabeth Warren for president. And this is how insulated the bubble is. Democrat America thinks this is what happened. You ready? A few years ago, Elizabeth Warren asserted some Cherokee heritage. And it goes back to when she identified herself as significantly of Indian heritage in a lawyer's directory at Harvard. That struck a lot of people as ridiculous. She was not able to point to a single human being in her family tree who was of any Native American extraction, but she still talked about it.
My Aunt B has walked by that picture at least 1,000 times, remarked that her father, my papa, had high cheekbones like all of the Indians. Being Native American has been part of my story, I guess, since the day I was born.
Oh, good Lord. And so President Trump was all over this and said, listen, I'll give $1 million to a charity of your choice if you do a DNA test that shows you're an Indian. So I don't know why she did this. She got a DNA test. She went and got a DNA test and brought a camera crew. Listen.
What do the facts say? The facts suggest that you could absolutely have a Native American ancestor in your pedigree.
Okay. Some people have questioned my heritage and my family history. Maybe they do it to insult me. Maybe they do it to distract from the kinds of changes I'm fighting for.
You have heard the number, right? That if you, let's say you have a Cherokee mom or dad, that you are 50%, right? 50% from your actual parents. Then it goes, you know, you're one half. If it's one grandparent, 1/4. One great grandparent, 1/8. And then continuing along exponentially, 1/16, 1/32, 1/64, 1/128, 1/256, 1/512. And then we get to Elizabeth Warren's level of Native American DNA. 1/1024th. The Cherokee Nation itself did a release yesterday saying that this was a dog and pony show, a ridiculous trick, that it was wrong for her to, that this seemed manipulative and absurd. And Democrat America thinks, scoreboard, she won. Trump owes her $1 million. Do you get it now? Every big name the Democrats have is a slam dunk for Trump in 2020. He would smoke Elizabeth Warren. I've always spoken well of the campaign skill set of Joe Biden. Joe's looking a little tired, and that's okay. He's had a long, long history of service. Kamala Harris, Cory Booker are lunatics. They have no one in the batter's box. I guess on deck circle would be more like it. No one. So that's why my eyes are laser focused on Michelle Obama, because what in the world else does the Democratic Party have? And yeah, it's time to start thinking about that. All righty, 866-660-5759. It's time to start thinking about a whole lot of things. So I got a little preview, a little thought about the Ted and Beto debate tonight. That's at 8 on Channel 8. Is it at 7 o'clock? We get the Connors. It's Roseanne without Roseanne. How's that going to go? Got a couple of thoughts about that and a number of other things happening in the news and in our lives. We have coming up at 8:05, Bill O'Reilly, 8:35, Sebastian Gorka. Oh my gosh, there's some pedal to the metal conservatism. So all this and more coming up on today's program. 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis, 7:23. On the 16th day of October, a Tuesday. So just as we get to the bottom of the hour, I just have to tie a bow around this, because it's just ridiculous. This is the state of the Democrat Party today. They have no one. They have nothing. The once promising candidacies, I mean, Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, here are young folks of color with a certain campaign skill set. And listen, I don't care what color anybody is, but as the Lupe Valdez candidacy proves, Democrats are all about identity politics, identity politics, identity politics. Woman, check. You know, Hispanic, check. Lesbian, bonus. That's how you get Lupe Valdez. And that's not to over-criticize her. She is an accomplished woman. She's done a lot in life. She's a neat lady in a lot of ways. And Greg Abbott is going to steamroll her. Andrew White has still got to be banging his head against a brick wall. I lost to her? Are you kidding me? Of course, Andrew White would have been steamrolled by Greg Abbott as well. But anyway, the dry, arid desert that is the Democratic field of hopefuls for 2020. So much has been said of Elizabeth Warren. And this is where you get just ridiculousness like this.
Native communities have faced discrimination, neglect, and violence for generations. And Trump can say whatever he wants about me. But mocking Native Americans or any group in order to try to get at me, that's not what America stands for.
What? Nobody mocked Native Americans. We're mocking you for pretending to be one. All righty, 866-660-5759. What to look for on the stage in San Antonio? Hello, San Antonio, on Freedom 1160. Tonight, we just a look at what's going to happen, what's likely to happen, what effect it's likely to have, and some interesting things about Beto and his money. He has a lot of it. His contributions have been through the roof. What does that mean? And might he have so much money, might he, as candidates can do, share some of that with other Democrats in key races around the country? That would be a no. And we'll talk about the kind of reaction that that's getting. I'm Mark Davis on 660 AM The Answer, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Freedom 1160 San Antonio. It's 7:32. Gordon Griffin's in the newsroom. Okay, we need some music for this weather, right? Renee Rosnes is a Canadian jazz pianist. I like her. And she has a guy on saxophone. Doesn't this just make it for the weather right now? I mean, I can't roll out the Zeppelin album cuts right now, can I? Yes, I can, and probably will. But this just works. The winter of my discontent. God, I can just roll this out for a half an hour. it's impossible to be upset about anything with this music, isn't it? That's better. Renee Rosnes, R-O-S-N-E-S. Neat lady. Okay, 866-660-5759. So I think we've had our way with Elizabeth Warren. And preview of Cruz and Beto tonight. And then I guess we got to talk about this Jamal Khashoggi journalist guy, dead guy, subject of international intrigue now, and see what this means and where it goes, et cetera, et cetera. Being Tuesday, our visit with Mike Gallagher is in about 11 minutes, so sit tight for that. Okay, but first, tonight, I think you're going to see a lot of what we saw in debate number one. Now, this is funny. You ready for this? This is funny. I think Beto did better in the first debate than a lot of Democrats did. Here's what I mean. I told you going into debate number one that, which was held at SMU a couple of weeks back, that Ted would be Ted and that Beto would be Beto, meaning that Ted would come in with his razor sharp debate skills, making all kinds of points that would be superior points in a conservative state, but that Beto was not going to be reduced to a sobbing heap, and he was going to deliver his broad and vague platitudes and probably do so with some degree of skill. And he did. He there were no gaffes. He did fine. I mean, in terms of what expectations were, I mean, anybody expecting Cruz to mop the floor with Beto just isn't paying attention. So same deal tonight. But here's the thing about debate number one is I think the reason that Democrats were frustrated is they wanted Beto to be more aggressive toward Ted. That would not have worked well. So but that doesn't mean he gets that. That doesn't mean he knows that. Beto and his voters, see, actually believe they have to live in an alternate universe where a guy who is for high taxes, soft borders, and legal weed wins a Senate seat in Texas. Ooh, that's a world that does not exist. So since this might be the last debate they have, because I don't see any rescheduling of the Houston event. I mean, when are you going to wedge that in? And, you know, next weekend, weekend after? I just don't know. So this might be it. And if Beto and his people think that this might be it, then this might be their only opportunity to launch some pretty heavy negatives at Ted. And what exactly would those negatives be? What exactly are they going to say? You know, oh, Ted was more interested in running for president than he was in being a senator. Who cares? Those of us who love Ted Cruz love the fact that he ran for president. There's just nowhere to go. There's nowhere to go for Beto in a conservative state. A liberal candidate in a conservative state. Square peg, round hole, lather, rinse, repeat. The logic does not change. So since there was not a lot of, they didn't make a lot of inroads, I don't know what Beto's people thought the first debate would do. I think what their wish list was that he would turn all this money into a real buzz that he had really gotten the upper hand on Ted on the debate stage. Now, again, Ted is not going to wipe the floor with Beto on a debate stage, but nor is Beto going to get anything resembling an upper hand. I mean, come on. And now about Beto's money. He's rolling in this past quarter like $38 million just for the quarter. That's more than a whole lot of races have seen spent in the past. And he's keeping every single bit of it. He has already spent an enormous amount of it. And we see that. We see it in those infernal signs. We see it in his ubiquitous TV ads. They're everywhere. That's what ubiquitous means. And listen, Ted's ad campaign is rampant. I believe you me, the Ted ad campaigns for the last 3 weeks. Get ready. Anyway, though, Beto is raking in a lot of money and spending a lot of money. And the Democratic Party is looking at this and saying, wow, isn't it possible that Beto has actually more money than he needs? And shouldn't people be donating to other Democrats in states where a Democrat can actually win? So there's already the beginnings of bad blood. So to me, this may seem counterintuitive, but I want Democrats around the country to send every dime they have to Beto. And please don't send it to Missouri, and please don't send it to Pennsylvania, please don't send it to Ohio, because those are tough, close races. Please go ahead and send it here, because we've already seen a ton of money come into Beto here, and Ted has some poll leads that are approaching double digits, which is exactly what the result should be. Exactly what the result should be. As far as this Jamal Khashoggi case, the Saudis are apparently going to say today, and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is over there now talking to Mohammed bin Salman, the Saudi royal prince, and to be a fly on the wall in that room. And the Saudis have said from the royal family level, we knew nothing about this. Mr. Khashoggi, as you know, you've seen that video of him walking into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey, and he never came out. He apparently came out chopped into small bits. I'm not kidding about that. And so it was brutal. It was terrible. And so the buzz for a few days has been, if the Saudis did this to this fairly vocal critic of the Saudi royal family, Mr. Khashoggi wrote frequently for The Washington Post on that subject, then, you know, wow, maybe we need some kind of sanctions against Saudi Arabia. Maybe we need to cancel some fighter jet deals or something like that. Pfft, like Trump's going to do that. And maybe there just needs to be something. It's kind of funny. All kinds of Democrats who are not hard or harsh on anybody, certainly not Iran, are badgering President Trump to be tough on the Saudis. But now today's development is that the Saudis will probably admit that maybe some guy just went kind of nuts. That it was some rogue killing that, you know, like one of my guys that we didn't really intend to get. And I love how this is going to play out. We didn't mean to kill him. We just wanted to catch him and torture him a little. You know, we were going to kill the, you know, we didn't mean to kill the guy who came in at 1:15. We were going to kill the guy who came in at 1:30. Whoops, our bad. I don't know how that's going to play. Let's see how a number of these things play with our talk show buddy, Mike Gallagher, who joins us next. I'm Mark Davis. It's 7:46.
Summer days are gone too soon. You shoot the moon and miss completely.
To revisit this every once in a while, just sort of the rainy day music premise. Little Norah Jones and Shoot the Moon from Come Away With Me. That Norah Jones album that got like 43 Grammys, that was like 16 years ago. It's crazy. All right, awaiting Mike, Vicky in Fort Worth. Hey, welcome. How are you?
I am good. Really quick observation. I drive all over the state and a lot all over the Metroplex for my job. Mm-hmm. And with everybody freaking out on the Beto signs, you know one thing I've never seen? a Beto sign in a yard with an Abbott sign, or a Beto sign in a yard with a Patrick sign. Well, they are Democrats putting up free stuff.
Of course. Now, this is interesting, because this is another, I wouldn't expect to see a Beto sign and an Abbott sign. That would be, unless it's either a very confused voter or a very tense household between husband and wife. But the other thing that somebody said, it's kind of funny. I almost want to find one, because I'd like to think better of people. Somebody said, I've never seen a Beto sign in front of a house with an American flag. So
my neighbor across the street, but I put up a Ted Cruz sign, and he put up two huge Beto signs. So I'm trying to get a hold of the Cruz campaign, because I need a bigger sign.
Well, I hear you there. Very, very good. All right. Hey, thank you, Vicky. Appreciate it very much. 866-660-5759. Mike Gallagher is here with an update on today's program. Mike's here. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Are we doing the tomahawk chop?
I'm doing a rain dance. I know.
Well, yeah, you're as entitled as anyone.
But what a story. The liberal media embracing her lie?
Saying that she's been vindicated. Trump owes her the million. Exactly right.
I got more Indian ancestry than she does.
Using the logic that 1/1024th makes you an Indian just in terms of the amount that's in your blood, last night I went to Mikosina. So, Mike, today I am, in fact, a bottle of tequila.
No kidding.
I actually am. I'm a bottle of Cuervo sitting here talking.
You could be a tribal head. You could be the head of a tribe somewhere.
Jiminy Christmas.
Don't you know Donald Trump's already memorized 1/1024th?
Yeah,
1/1024th.
Yes.
He will have such a field day with this. And he already is. And man, what a bunch of winning. Stormy Daniels' lawsuit thrown out. And here's the best part. The judge ordered Stormy Daniels to pay President Trump's legal fees. Now, don't you know he's going to say, those legal fees, they're $440 million.
Yep. And all the chowder heads who contributed to Stormy's GoFundMe, their money now goes to Trump. It's a great day. It's Christmas early,
and there's rumor and there's rumblings that the House is going to look better than we think it is. The Senate even better than we think it is.
Yep.
I'm feeling good, Mark. There's a lot of winning going on.
Elizabeth Warren's
story has to be front and center, because this is the party that we're talking about, that we're up against, of Elizabeth Warren. This is the party of Richard Blumenthal, who lied about serving in Vietnam, stolen valor. These guys, they're capable of monumental, epic lies. And you got to make a decision on November 6th. Who are you going to pull the lever for? You're going to pull the lever for a party Beto O'Rourke belongs to, that where his colleagues would be Richard Stolen Valor Blumenthal and Elizabeth Pocahontas Warren, or Liahontas, as Tucker Carlson now calls her? Or are you going to vote for the party of Ted Cruz and Republicans and common sense? It's not a close call, my friend. Not a close call.
No, it is not. And the puns are everywhere. Pocahontas, I think it was Liahontas. And it's the Me Sue movement. Oh my God.
You can't make it up.
You just can't make it up. Hey, I got a question to ask you. It's a little thing called how big a deal is this? It's a very big deal, but how big is it really? The Khashoggi killing in Saudi hands. Is that because, I mean, what's going on there? And how, I mean, it's horrible for the men. I pray for him, his family. But what's the story there?
The problem is he's not an American citizen. Mm-hmm. So you've got an issue where, while he wrote for the Washington Post, how involved are we supposed to get that the Saudis may have assassinated a guy in the Turkish embassy?
Yep.
How would we go to war with Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, because everybody's on Trump. You got to have sanctions against Saudi Arabia and cancel all the fighter deals. That it's not going to happen.
No, it's not. And you know, frankly, we've always had a complicated relation with Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Look at 9/11.
Yep.
Look at terrorism, you know? So it's always been problematic. But listen, this guy, this president's figuring it out. I mean, every single day. This has been, we've had a great couple of weeks.
It's been an incredible stretch. And can we keep this going to Election Day? Got 30 seconds. What else you got? What are you going to do?
Well, we were going to touch upon that as well, and we're going to dive into the Battleground, new CBS Battleground tracking poll. It's monitoring all the close House races. I've got a piece of audio you're not going to want to miss. It is a Batman-themed Rachel Maddow having the smirk wiped off her face on election night 2016, because it could happen again.
Memories.
It's one of those tapes. Oh, it's so good.
Like the corners of my mind.
Because you forget how she promised it's impossible for Donald Trump to win.
Of course.
You forget how she guaranteed a Hillary win.
Please give us another night like that.
Oh, well, we're going to give you some audio that will take you down memory lane and hopefully give you inspiration as we get closer and closer.
He inspires us every day. It's Mike Gallagher right after we're done on 660 AM, The Answer DFW, and right around the bend on AM 930, The Answer San Antonio, sister outlet to Freedom 1160, our first hour ride-along buddies. Up here in DFW, back in a moment with Bill O'Reilly. It is a Tuesday in progress. Glad you're here.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. Deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.